I always look at it like this. I can't fuck my parents.
I mean, you can. I guess, but I technically, physically don't. Could. It's illegal.
Not to brag, but I probably could.
Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
Hello, everybody. My name is the Iceman.
And we are going to answer
your questions. That's right. It's that time of the year where we answer all of your questions.
That time of the year, that magical time of the year.
When we and you ask questions and we ask your answers. And then we get. And then
we don't ask the answers. We just answer the answers.
We provide the answers back to you. And then you sometimes provide it. You have a 30-second rebuttal.
Disclaimer, we are not experts, but we will tell you what we think because you asked.
Yeah, does that make sense?
And if you would like to submit your question, you could submit to podcast@nikki.limo. That's podcast@nikki.limo. All right, let's get started.
Well, a lot of people are going to have crypto questions, and there's a place where they can go for that now. It's called Crypto Corner.
That's true. It's on Patreon.
It's where you get exclusive time with me to talk about all crypto.
And it's much more detailed.
Correct.
Because it's secret.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. If you have crypto questions.
There you go. Oh.
There you go.
This is actually the very first question on this in this email account is investing in crypto but in debt.
Okay, I like it. We'll do it.
Okay, this is just a sample. This is a sample, everybody.
Get a little taster.
Okay. This one is the title is Investing in Crypto but in Debt. Hi there, Nikki and Steve. First of all, thank you too for being you. Oh my God, you're welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. I've been a fan of Nikki since she did that bad sex rap battle with Tim 7-8-ish years ago. Oh my God.
Wow.
That was so long ago. That was when Steve and I first started dating.
Yep.
And Steve, well, I fell in love with Nikki. I fell in love with you because of Nikki.
Thank you.
Fell in love with you because of me.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Way to save it. All right. Here's my question. I have about $10,000 in credit card debt because of poor decisions as an idiot teenager and young adult with nobody to guide me financially, and I've recently made the moves to try to dig myself out of it. However, once the pandemic hit, my progress came to a halt, and I was unfortunately laid off and am still struggling to find a job. Last April, my best friend introduced me to the world of stonks, and I kind of fell down that rabbit hole. I started up a Robinhood account, recently made a Coinbase, and I'm taking my financial security for older me much more seriously now. In your non-expert advice, what would you suggest doing in my predicament? Should I pay off my credit card debt first and then spend more time in the stock/crypto market? Or should I continue what I'm doing now and make small but more than the minimum payments on my credit card and throw a little bit of money into the market every few weeks? To give a bit more information, I'm currently engaged and my soon-to-be wife is not so great with money management. We both pretty much suck at it and we're both very impulsive buyers. However, like I said, I want to make sure we're set up for success later down the road. She has no interest in stocks, crypto, or any of that. Thanks. No name attached, so please give me a dope little nickname. Love you guys.
Okay. Curious about crypto.
Curious Craig.
Listen, bro, this is hard for me because you know what I want to do. You're talking to a fucking certified crypto degen right now.
Yes.
All I want to do is tell you go all fucking in. I want to tell you to sell all your shit and fucking go all in. If I did not have a wife, if I did not have four cats, I would be living in the smallest place. I lived there before and I got with
That's
Nikki.
That's true.
Accumulating funds, buying as much fucking crypto as I can with all my money. However, in your current predicament, if you're paying down the minimums, you're basically throwing money away because of how much you owe in your credit card debt.
He says he's paying a little bit more than minimum, though.
You're basically throwing the minimum part away, and then whatever you're sprinkling on top is like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting pepper on it, okay, my friend. You gotta actually take bites out of that debt. You can't just sprinkle pepper on it.
Can I tell you how proud I am of you for answering this way?
I'm fucking disgusted with myself, Nikki. I'm actually, my skin is crawling as I'm saying this.
I thought I was going to have to reel you back
in. No, because unfortunately, I just know that getting out of debt is number one on your list.
It really,
That's
really
gonna
is.
That's going to free you up so much more. And your mental game will be freed up too.
Here's why. Credit card debt, most credit cards, and I'm guessing if you have $10,000 in debt already on this credit card, you're past the initial introductory rate. So they're usually above 20%. Terrible. Okay.
It's a mental weight too.
Yeah.
I've been there.
And it's a mental weight. Yeah. But here's the thing. If you end up using your free cash, especially with no job, you don't have a lot of cash flow coming in, right? So you're spending your free cash on investments. What's going to happen when you get an emergency? You're going to get deeper into debt. because you don't have any free cash. So what you need to do is you really need to pay off that debt. Then you need to have like some sort of liquid savings, like $1,000 or so set aside, and then start working on your investment. I promise you, you'll be better off, because if you get into even the slightest emergency, you're going to have to dip into your investments and you're going to get taxed up your asshole. You don't want to be taxed in your asshole. Do you like being taxed up your asshole?
I don't. But
I don't like being taxed normally.
If you want to be a little bit of a flirty boy at the same time. Okay, you want to be a little flirty boy?
Green.
Hey, hold on. Check this out. You dollar cost average into Bitcoin every month when you get paid. Take like $20. Whatever you're going to do, like Chipotle night or whatever the fuck. You're like, nah, fuck that. I'm just going to put that into Bitcoin every month, because you said you got a Coinbase account. You can set that up as an auto buy if you want to. Not telling you what to do here. But taking Chipotle or Taco Bell money out of your mouth and putting it into crypto, dollar cost averaging, I think is a pretty smart move.
I would agree with that, only after having at least $500 to $1,000 in an emergency fund.
Well, she got to make it all boring now. So.
I'm just saying. That's my particular advice. And you know who manages the money around here?
Which money?
Who gives you the allowance to go into Bitcoin?
True. What's allowance from our money?
Yes, but it has to be managed.
But whenever you say that, people think that you're just giving me money. I'm like, thank you for money. And
no,
then
I know that Steve would put every last cent into cryptocurrency. You have to have a little bit of diversity in your portfolio.
You do.
And also get the fuck out of debt first.
But you know what sickens me?
What?
I would have gone all in on crypto as hard as like you've known me, and I would have been right. That sickens me. It sickens me.
We could have a more in-depth conversation about this in Crypto Corner.
That's true.
Because
all right, you're right. You're
there right. was we'll some lessons that were learned.
Oh, that's for sure. There's always lessons learned. Yeah. Always.
Yes.
But I would have been right. And that blows
You would have
my
been
mind.
Right in a basement dwelling shithole in Van Nuys attached to a funeral home.
That's where I lived. She's talking about the romantic times when we first got together.
You know, when we first got together, he had an air mattress.
It was.
I still got with
was
him.
Was it on the floor?
No, it was a raised
air mattress.
No sheets. But see, just a lot of people. No comforter, just a fleece blanket.
See, when a lot of people hear that it was just an air mattress, they're imagining just it's like laying on the ground. It's not. It's up in the air. It's like 3 feet up in the air.
I bought the dip on Steve. I saw the potential. I was like, this is a value stock. This is a value stock boyfriend.
Look, I needed an emergency spot.
You don't have to.
Just to defend myself.
We've talked about it before.
All right. Well, to new people. I needed an emergency pad.
It's funnier to just
I know. I was trying to get my ex back. That was like that was going to be my base of operations. I was closest to her where I could fucking make moves or whatever. Stupid. I was with Nikki 9 days later. but then I was stuck in a year lease. And there you go. Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. History.
Yeah. So,
and we were over that place so fast.
I know.
Oh my God.
You're welcome. You get to make lots of cryptocurrency moves in a nice looking place.
I do enjoy that.
In a comfortable place.
You can't live inside of a Bitcoin. I've always said that.
You cannot live inside of a Bitcoin.
I find.
And it's really not that much more expensive than what you were paying.
It's insane, isn't it?
It's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Because you were paying $800 a month.
Yeah.
In LA. On your own.
Yeah.
Now you're paying you're paying $900 and I'm paying $900 with our refi.
It's pretty sick.
So.
Pretty lit.
You're welcome.
Pre-refi though.
And you own this place.
I like that part.
And you own it.
I like that part.
And it's a lot bigger.
Pre-refi though, that was a big boy.
Yes.
That was a big boy.
Okay, moving on. Sorry, Curious Craig. Also, get some more cash flow going. Like, honestly, I know how tempting it is. You FOMO so much because you hear about people making so much money on crypto. Just let it go. Let it go. Get your bases covered first and then start being Curious Craig into the
It will never be too late for Bitcoin. They're still going to be mining it 100 years from now.
This is such ground floor level with Bitcoin. You don't have to rush it. So get that cash flow going. Get that debt paid off. Here we go. Next question. The next question is cryptocurrency. How do I begin?
Oh my God.
We're
starting something. It's a movement.
Go
folks.
To Crypto Corner on Patreon, patreon.com/sticky. And you will have your questions answered.
Let me help her out though.
Oh my God. This is going to be a whole, you just did a cryptocurrency episode.
Listen, the people are interested. This is the most talked about thing right now happening other than GameStop.
Okay. Okay, so there... Oh, I see. I think she just clickbaited the title.
Oh, she did. That's okay. Very clever girl.
So it says, cryptocurrency, how do I begin? All caps. Hi, Nikki and Steve. Correct order. Oh, I like her already.
We don't like this.
Compliments. I love you guys so much. I strive to have a relationship as functional and adorable as yours and a bullet journal with even a fourth of your creativity, Nikki. Oh my God, that's so sweet.
Thank you.
Y'all are the best and I love listening to your podcast. We love you.
We love you.
Listening to it and we love you.
Thank you.
Now, please don't be mad, but you've actually been catfish slash clickbaited. I actually have a question about my relationship, both with my boyfriend and that was a good move,
how
honestly.
How could you do this to me?
I almost skipped your question because of it, but
you have to remember that Nikki's the one who reads the questions, not Steve's.
That's true.
Otherwise, yeah, that would have been pretty good.
I wasn't sure how to get your attention, and I know Steve has wanted crypto questions, so that's why. Oh, she answered. It's like she was here with us.
Understood.
Anyways, my questions are, one, how do I romanticize my life or like fall in love with myself? I've had body image issues since I was a child, but only until I lost weight did I actually start to feel less confident because I realized how big I was and that I could return to that easily. Because of the pandemic, I have gained weight and I feel like shit about myself. Due to school, I've stopped bullet journaling, even though I was never that good, LOL, I would do it daily. And overall, can't find the motivation to do school either. Any idea how I can get out of this slump? I picture this ideal life for myself where I have better control of my anxiety, but it only comes true in summer and the rest of the year, I feel like crap. How can I break the cycle? So that's question one. Do you want to go
question by question?
Okay. This one's hard. Okay. It's tricky because it's all up to you. It's like you kind of have to decide to love yourself. And I know that body image issues are hard, like for sure. Like I've definitely struggled with that myself. But in the end, I think what helped me is that realizing that life is like we're only here for just like a speck of time, like so small that I didn't want to be wrapped up in my body as much. Like I was spending too much energy on it. I was like, I want to spend energy like having fun with my friends. And so as long as I'm taking care of myself, you know, and this is tough because you do have to, you know, be aware of if you have physical ailments or something, you go see a doctor and stuff. But as long as I'm getting exercise regularly, I now just have like a checklist. Like, am I getting at least 20 minutes of exercise a day? Am I meditating? Am I like doing one self-care thing a week?
Yes.
You know, as long as I'm doing the basics, I don't want to stress out because the stress actually also helps you keep on weight and like gain weight. And then if you think that something's actually wrong, if you're doing the basics, you're trying to take care of yourself, you're taking your vitamins, you're eating the right foods and you're eating healthy and something's still not working, you might have something that you want to see your doctor about and take blood tests and stuff for that. But
I like to think of it like this. When you have something or someone that you love or like you have like an animal that you love or anybody that you've ever loved, don't you do things for them? Like,
Did I tell you that? Because I'd been doing that since the beginning of, well, since for years now, but
I've been doing this since my breakthrough.
But I shared this on my Insta stories, like at the beginning of the year, about how like taking care of yourself as if you're taking care of your pet or your plants.
Yeah. If you love something, don't you do things for that? Why don't you do that for yourself? It's right. And, and that's all. And if you want to romanticize yourself or love yourself, why aren't you doing something for yourself? And that's where my breakthrough came from.
Yeah.
With you. It was like July 3rd, like 2 years ago.
Whoa.
And I'll never
specific
forget
specific date.
Yeah, yeah. But I remember we were doing shit. They don't tell you after dark in the closet upstairs. Mm-hmm. And you said you just gotten through like 20 minutes of talking about what you do for yourself. And then you asked me what I do for myself.
Yeah.
And I just broke down. I was like, holy shit, I don't do anything for myself. And nobody's ever asked me that before. And that was when I just started to take a zoom out moment and look at my own self and my own life and realize that, holy shit, I don't do anything for myself. I get pings of validation from doing things for others, which feels great, but at the end of all days, when you look at yourself and you're not loving yourself, it's a rough situation.
You need to refill your cup.
So just do something for you, right? Like I started like with weights and stuff and like watching what I eat more and just stopping, like I don't look forward to food anymore where I used to. Like, I look forward to, like, little date nights with you and we order something or something. But I don't look forward to food the way I used to, where I was like, oh, I can't wait for that. Like, I don't live to eat, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, now. So I took that off of my list of things. I do intermittent fasting, just little things that just make me feel a lot better.
Yeah, I think there's two issues here. There's one is the like the actual weight loss stuff, like health journey. And then the other one is the like loving yourself.
Yes.
You know, and I think it's from what it sounds, she says that she can't get the motivation to do school and she's just in a slump. I think one, make a list of all of the things that if you were not you, if you were like a friend of you, what would your friend say they love the most about you? Like what are your best qualities? Make that list. Look at that list. Like know that that's you. Like know that those are non-negotiables that no one can take away from you. Mm-hmm. That'll give you a little bit of self-esteem. And then as far as doing the things or finding motivation, you know, sometimes we're not motivated. Like you have to get yourself motivated. And for me, the best way that, and I feel like you too, the best way that we've been able to do that is like you think of the person you want to be, like all yes. the things that she does. Like, what does this person do on a daily yes. basis? What's like the thing, like what does that person look like that you want to be? And then every day make a little vote for being that person. So if that's the type of person that, you know, gets her schoolwork done, then getting your schoolwork done is a vote for being that type of person. Yeah. And it's just it's those little incremental changes that become habits, and then your habits become your beliefs, and then your beliefs become your identity. So,
yeah, I remember even when I was a kid, right? And you don't even think about things like loving yourself,
but yeah.
you think about heroes and like looking up to people, or like, you know, I'm a kid, I'm like, oh, Superman or Batman wouldn't do that. I don't want to do that. And so I wasn't trying to be Superman or Batman, but I was like, they wouldn't do that. I want to be more like that.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of like,
when you catch yourself doing a bad habit.
Yeah. You're tilting like, yourself away from the thing that you're maybe naturally inclined to do because you want to be somebody else. Like yeah. you want to be better for yourself.
That makes sense.
It's a mental shift. It's not easy though.
Okay. And number two, I'm in a relationship right now and I genuinely love my boyfriend. However, I get scared about whether it will work out long term because we are culturally and religiously different. Neither of us personally mind, but our parents are far more conservative and have a problem. We are young, but I fear that once we are older, we will not be able to work it out because we will still be reliant on our parents, especially in this economy. With that kind of dependence, it's really hard to hold your ground for other matters. How do I let go of this thought and go with the flow as I'm young? Of course, I want it long term, but thinking about it gives me anxiety, but I also will always think about it. Anyways, I'm sorry for the long email. Please keep me anonymous. Lots of love, a fellow Chicago girl. Oh, Chicago Sally.
Chicago Sally. Listen, man, when it comes to, I always look at it like this. I can't fuck my parents.
I mean, you can. I guess but I technically physically don't. Could. It's illegal.
Not to brag, but I probably could. But that's what I'm saying. Like the intimate things in your life, you don't get from them. The real moments of like, I don't know, like the greatest moments that I've had, like with you, like
yeah.
had nothing to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you let them in between that, I think that's a huge mistake. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't sacrifice your happiness to make others happy. And when it comes to depending on your parents, I mean, I understand that's a struggle, but it's like, it's almost like you're giving in to letting someone control you with money, you yes. know? And I don't know. I just would get out of that mindset if I were you. Like,
or controlling you at all.
Yeah.
You're letting someone control you. Like,
yeah.
You're not going to be as happy as if you didn't let someone control you.
You can find other ways to support yourself.
Absolutely.
You can.
And you'll feel better about yourself when you get there.
Yeah. I honestly, that's my advice. Not professional, but if you're in love, I don't let anyone take that away.
And sometimes you have to demand respect from the ones that you love because there need to be boundaries mm-hmm. with them if they're not giving you respect. And that kind of shit is not giving you respect. Mm-hmm. Like respecting your choices and what you want, like with your life, if they can't do that because, oh, he's not the same religion as us or whatever the hell, like you're not respecting my choices.
Yes. So Chicago Sally, I wish you the best. Love yourself. Mwah.
And let the boy, by the way, let the guy or, and you sit down with them. If there's a problem, that's one of my favorite things. It's like, hey, we got a problem. Let's sit down and talk about this.
Yes.
Like, instead of just talking, oh, one-on-one with, oh, yeah, I can't believe my parents like this. This sucks so much. And then to them, it's like, oh, hi, let's be fakey fakes time. Okay, cool, bye, see you later. Like, why not go like, hey, I know you guys maybe have an issue about this situation, but let's all sit down and talk about, like, what your reservations are.
That's a great idea.
Just be mature, treat them like adults, and maybe they'll grow up.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you know, cultural things are hard because sometimes people are just locked into that.
No question.
But yeah.
But you can try treating them like adults and see if they grow up. That's all.
I agree. All right. This one says, dreaming of my ex. Oh, no. Hey, Nikki and Steve. I would like to remain anonymous, please. And thank you. You're welcome, Dreamin' Steven. Lately, I've been... Dreamin' Stephanie. Lately, I've been dreaming of my boyfriend from high school. It's been about 15 years since we were together, but we remain great friends to this date. We've known each other since fifth grade, and he is part of my closest group of friends, so we talk almost every day in our chat group. He is the doctor of the group, so he's always helping me when I'm sick, checking on me, and knows even the grossest things about me. Whenever he talks to me directly, usually joking or remembering when we were together, I dream of him, you know, romantically. And I don't want to wake up. It messes with my head a little, and it doesn't help that our friends are constantly telling us that we should be together or saying stuff like, where was the fire, ashes, or where there was fire, ashes remain, LOL. I feel like such an asshole because I have a boyfriend that I love so much. We've been together for over 4 years, and I feel like I'm cheating emotionally or something because of dreaming of my ex feels so nice. Maybe I'm just nostalgic about the good old days at high school because of the quarter life crisis, but I started reviewing my whole life thinking if we had done things differently, me and my ex would be together now. Any comment or advice is greatly appreciated. You guys are the best. Love you. You're in love with your ex.
Yeah, you love your ex. Yeah. This is different because because you actually have contact with this person and you don't just remember them how they were.
Yeah, I got goosebumps actually.
You actually know them now.
Exactly. And you have
feelings
for them. And
you want to stay asleep.
It is a little emotionally cheating, in my opinion, to be honest.
It is, for sure. She knows that.
Not dreaming, because you can't help your dreams, but the talking to him and you guys have like a banter, reminiscing about old times.
That shit's fucked up.
Your friends think you have more... Your friends wouldn't say that if they respected your boyfriend. Yeah, like, nah. They clearly think you guys have chemistry. I don't know. It sounds like... You're with your boyfriend because he's a nice guy and you've been together for 4 years you got a comfortable thing happening. Yeah, exactly. But if I'm 100% honest, I'm getting vibes that you're in love with your ex.
Who became a doctor. How coincidental. Yeah.
Upgrade.
Dreaming of what? Going to the bank? Nah, I'm fucking with you.
She's like, oh, no, I was having a good
day. No.
Please,
oh,
don't
great.
Wake me up, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your boyfriend's like, I made you muffins.
Your boyfriend's like, I've been looking at above ground jacuzzis. Fucking Nikki.
Don't tell my secret goals and dreams.
Nikki's thinking about getting an inflatable jacuzzi.
Why are you telling on me? I will tell on you.
Please don't.
I'll tell on you what you did.
Please don't.
Way more embarrassing. Steve really likes our fridge, and I will say no more.
That's not even a good clue.
No, it's not, because nobody would ever guess
what
you did to our fridge.
We don't need that out in the ether. What did Steve do to the fridge? We don't need that.
All right. One more question before.
We're going to all think I fucked the fridge. That's what that sounds like to me.
He didn't fuck the fridge.
Thank you.
But that's the only...
I came close.
It's the only step left.
I came close.
All right, this one. My boyfriend cheated and addicted to crypto.
Ooh,
this is a relationship crypto combined.
I like him a little bit.
Hello, Iceman and Icebreaker. Hope you are having a wonderful day. Thank you so much. I'm sorry to have clickbaited you. Oh my god.
Dude,
everyone's clickbaiting with the
crypto. We told them to fix their titles.
That's true. You told them.
I did. I broke their balls too hard.
Sorry to have clickbaited you, but absolutely none of that is true. My fiance is amazing, but I think you'll forgive me because I'm purely here because I want to give you lots of compliments. Oh my gosh. Well, all right.
I didn't know.
She clickbaited us, okay?
We'll allow it.
Funny thing, I actually came here for the information, one of Nikki's old wedding advice videos of all things, and stayed for the vibe and financial advice, although you are not professionals. Thank you. Don't come for us.
You are not professionals.
From there, I got super into Shit They Don't Tell You and went back and watched and listened to as many old episodes as I could. You guys are funny as fuck, obviously, but also genuinely kind and intelligent human beings, and I appreciate and listen to what you have to say.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you.
I love this person. Okay. I also got really into Big Mood Oops competition.
No, please don't mention it. Mark, cut that.
Extra appreciate the sexual honesty on there, especially since I don't actually feel open speaking like that myself. Oh, good. That's exactly what I started.
That's the service that this show also provides.
But now, no, I'm not alone in things. Nikki, I got to say, I relate to you so much, so often. I also love cats, alone time, stressing out, oops, and being a loyal asshole. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been really loving the party channel, and sitting down to watch Vlarch has made my breakfast time more happy. I love that. Oh, I have a vlog channel, everybody.
She's plugging everything. This is beautiful.
I know. You would think that I write these weekly.
I would. This one I is swear I didn't pretty write perfect this. Plug
I,
for everything.
I swear on all of my cats I didn't write this.
This is the
this.
Whole sticky ecosystem.
It's true. But yeah, youtube.com/Nikki if you want to check the party channel. It's quite a party though, so you've been warned. Lastly, although all of us always think our relationships are the absolute best, no one else's could be as good. I gotta admit, you two are obvious goals for anybody. Thanks, Iceman, for teaching me crypto because I didn't understand any of it previously. I even listened to the entirety of your Flat Earth episode. So yeah.
Dude, so many people thought that shit was real.
I know.
It's so funny.
They were getting so mad.
They're like, wow. I know Steve was dumb, but I didn't know he's this dumb and shit like that. So great.
Cannot wait for a new episode to listen to you two tell it like it is. I appreciate you. Lots of love. Anonymous, thank you so much.
Very lovely.
You are so sweet and kind. And with that, I hope you listen to these ad reads because it helps the show. And we know you want to do that. So thank you so much.
You
we
buy our fucking ads. You better be buying our fucking ads.
We're promoting
out there.
Like Adam and Eve. Like, get yourself a dildo. Come on.
This
Don't
is
be
fun
a prude.
Stuff.
Don't it's be like a prude.
Yeah. We're not telling you to go buy a mushroom log.
That was cool.
I know. I'm fucking breaking my friend's balls.
I know. Joe Jitsukawa, yeah, shout out. He sells a mushroom vlog, and I actually really like it.
Me too.
We'll be right back.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like thanks for listening to our podcast, and if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people
as a friend,
and we just want to say please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate, we're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you, God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
And we're back, and we're going to answer some more of your questions, I think.
I think we should.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we should.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have any. Let me check my agenda. Yeah. That's the only thing.
I was going to do a soliloquy about the springtime.
No, I think we should answer questions.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure. I'm off book.
No, that's cool.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
It's springtime. The flowers are here. The butterflies chirp. You can hear the fluttering of the winds and the wings and the wind. You can see the sparkle.
How long is
of
it?
Dew. Huh?
How long is
it's
it?
It's about 45 minutes.
No, we're done. Okay.
It's about spring.
Next question. This one's titled 7-year relationship. Okay. That's the 7-year itch mark.
Ooh, true.
I'm surprised to be asking on a platform like this, but you can call me Katie. KT, the letters K and then T. By the way, don't say my last name. I love watching y'all on YouTube and I resonate a lot with Nikki. Oh, what's up, girl? We're both sensitive. I'm an INFJ, independent, about to be 33 years old, and very reasonable minded. Okay, I like this girl.
I'm a reasonable minded guy, I think.
She's like me, not you. Good finances, found myself in my mid-20s and started dating again, blah, 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 etc. My relationship problem stems from dating a military brat, quote unquote. It feels so weird to call him that, but it tells a lot about him. His family was always his consistent in life as they moved around countries or states, and he values their opinions more than anyone else. And I get that. I've been dating this guy for almost 7 years. The first few years were like a dream, grossly in love to where you make other people sick.
First two?
The first few, she says. Yeah. He always said he is so in love with me and wants to get married, even asked me ring ideas. He has three older sisters, and one of them decided she didn't like me and started picking on me. And then all three sisters started picking on me. His mom still loves me. His dad's very non-emotional, but he has no problem with me. So ever since the sister decided she doesn't like me, I'm still trying to figure out exactly why. I think it may be because I said a pet peeve of mine is picky eaters, and her kids are, I guess, picky eaters.
That's it?
Wow. I know people like this, though.
That's so petty.
When you say one little thing, and they fucking go after
I thought
you.
I was petty. That's fucking dude. Real. That's the Olympics of petty right there.
There's been some people in my life, it's only women for some reason. I don't know why.
It's because it's all of them, don't you know?
It's because it's all women. Yeah. No, it's just like they zone in on like one little thing. Maybe it's an insecurity they have or something. I don't know. But
wow.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. But anyway, I don't put it past.
Whereas guys wouldn't even be paying attention.
Yeah, that's why I had mostly guy friends for a while. You just got to surround yourself with good people. But anyway, he won't stand up for me and just flatly says, family first, to a point where I feel like he doesn't even love me or care about me anymore. Like the effort and sex stopped, and he hasn't even really come back to normal, even after a couple of therapy sessions he agreed to. But I guess he didn't like what the therapist told him in their private session and stopped going. He's an INTP. He doesn't really do feelings or understand mine when I express them. How do I deal with someone who values their family members' opinions of me, not even really knowing me, and telling me he loves me, but then things clearly have changed, and I feel like it's been dragged out for years, and he expresses more and more anger to me all the time, yet still says he loves me. Thanks, Katie. Wait, there's a little after email. It says, I have confronted her and she just told me I need to earn her love, quote unquote, which I think is toxic. She talked to me like, quote, don't get your panties in a twist, and I just send her I just sent her a pic of my panty drawer and said, none of them are twisted, lol.
Very nice.
Like, I wasn't trying to fight. That's, she's so folding. Confrontational.
Well, yeah, so they're doing that bullshit where it's like, we're trying to like toughen you up or whatever. Maybe if you're gonna hang on this family, you got to be able to handle, like, you know.
Yeah, it just feels like mean girl stuff.
Why isn't your man defending you? That's all I want to know.
That's what she's asking.
That's what I want to know, though, too.
Yeah, I honestly,
you should be number one.
Yeah, you should be number one.
That's where his life is with you. It's not like he's fucking hanging out with his sisters all the time.
He's saying family first. The only way I would ever say family first to Steve is if Steve was trying to keep me from my family. If it was the other way around, where like you were picking fights with the sisters and like you're like, I don't want you hanging out with them anymore, yeah, or something
that
like that.
The control-y shit.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's like a narcissist thing. Mm-hmm. That's like a, like, yeah, you want to, you're possessive, right? But yeah, I don't, if one of Steve's siblings had a problem with me, we would all talk about it in a room together and Steve would have my back.
I would fucking wreck their fucking asses. They all know that too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because that's your person, right? That's all. It's just, that's, I mean, even pre-wife Nikki, like, you were my person. So it wasn't like, it, like, because I know you're not married or whatever, but that's still your person.
Well, you've been together for 7 years.
Yeah, come on.
And there's just a disconnect if someone's telling you they love you, but then the actions don't show that. I don't know. I don't really believe you then. Like, that's my perspective.
Yeah, you can say I love you, like, almost like, it's like,
it's empty.
Hey, so I'm not going to talk to you all day. And then at night, I love you. Like, that's nice. Cool. Wow. What a great time I had.
You're like living for crumbs.
Yeah. No, thanks. We don't do that shit. No. We respect ourselves.
That sucks. It sucks that he doesn't see it. You know?
Well, she sounds like she's been shaking the tree and he doesn't see it even then.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Like, go to therapy, all this shit.
And then he didn't like what the therapist said to him.
I mean, guy takes himself
a little
too seriously.
Do you want to stay with somebody who says they love you but don't show it ever? There's no sex anymore. She said the sex stopped. Yeah. And he doesn't even want to listen to the therapist because he thinks he knows better. I mean,
that's what
personally,
I mean. He takes himself so seriously, he knows better than the fucking
and
therapist.
And your in-laws are going to suck.
Yeah.
They're going to suck. You're going to be stuck with them. So not only do you have no love shown to you in your relationship, but no love shown to you in the extended family either. What's the point? Like, honestly, do you want to marry this guy? Because I would run.
Here's what you do. You dump him, and then you go into your panty drawer, you twist every single one of them, and you send her a picture.
My panties are in a twist.
They are now in a fucking twist.
Yeah.
But good luck. We're rooting for
you. Honestly, we're rooting for you, but I think you deserve better.
You do.
And I think you're right on the money with where your emotions are, and especially, oh, and that's the other thing. He won't listen to feelings.
Don't be sunk cost fallacy.
He doesn't understand feelings. You got it. Oh, no.
Don't be sunk
cost yourself.
Fallacy.
Exactly.
Oh, I spent so much time with this. I can make this shit work.
Like, yeah.
Oh, it's my investment of my time and my love.
I don't
want
to start back to zero.
Oh, fuck that shit.
Free. You will feel a weight off your shoulder. You will feel a weight lifted.
Yes.
You will feel 10 pounds lighter.
We have friends who just did this and they love love and life. Love and life.
Sure, you get like maybe lonely here and there when you remember the good times or whatever, but that's not fair to yourself because
you don't have to be anxious about going to see the family.
You can't live hoping it'll be like it was because obviously it's one-sided. You're the only one trying to get it that way.
If you love something, let it go. And if it can, if it comes back.
Is this part of the soliloquy still?
If it can come back to you, then it was meant to be.
I'd like to let this go.
But I don't want to
let this go. No.
Okay.
Yeah. Next question. We love you, girl.
Yeah, we love you. Good luck.
Hope that works out for you. Let us know. But Mark, break up. Hit the breakup button.
Mark, hit the breakup button. Hey, Mark, can you stitch me what I just said onto like a... thing I can put on a wall. I think it would look really good on a wall.
What?
I just visualized
the soliloquy?
It. The if you love something, no, let it go thing. It's got potential.
It's not original. I've heard
stitch
that
and send it to me, Mark. I think
it's, people say that
I have
already.
A vision of that in stitches that I just think will
what
really
are
do well. Stitches?
Stitches. You said stinches.
A stinch is a Harry Potter creature.
Wow. We're moving on.
sounds like one.
So, I don't think so. It sounds like a Dr. Seuss
the
person.
Stinches.
It sounds like a Dr. Seuss. Like a Dr. Seuss. Yeah. This one's called, Should I Text My Ex? What is it with people with their exes today?
Wow, exes are in the air, huh?
Yeah. I think, well, you know, a Mercury retrograde is coming up, and that's when, like, exes tend to come back into people's lives. Anyway,
okay. This
one says, Hey, Nikki and Steve, I love your podcast and hope you're both doing well. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. My question is, should I text my ex? Not in a I miss you kind of way, but as a friend, you know? Some background. We had known each other nearly our whole life, but for most of our late childhood / teenage years, we lost contact because we didn't live in the same area. Fast forward to about 2 years ago, we reunited and dated for around 2 years in a long-distance relationship. Unfortunately, due to the pandemic, we were not able to visit each other for quite some time and decided that there wasn't really a future for us both. Things ended rather amicably, and while I still love her very much, I find it odd that she wants me to remain a friend and continue to text her. Since we were a long-distance couple, this is something that we did anyways, and I don't necessarily like that she sends me good morning texts because I would never do that with female friends. I think for now the best is to ignore her and then maybe in some future build a friendship. What do you guys think? Thank you, and please don't take 3 months to respond, even though I you guys most likely will. My name is Matthew, by the way.
Sorry, Matthew.
Oh, sorry,
how
Matthew.
Long ago was it?
This was March 15th.
Oh, we're doing good on that, aren't you, Matthew?
Well, today, well, we don't know when this is going to come out, but today is April 7th.
We'll put this out. I think it's going out in August.
Okay, so yeah.
Perfect. No, listen, bro.
I think you're right.
She wants to have her cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
She wants to use you because she feels lonely, but she doesn't want to commit to you.
So that's bullshit.
And, you know, she's going to put in the cards on the table. Like, if that's a situation you want to, then...
But he doesn't.
But you don't. Right. I would
ignore her.
Ignore her. I think you're 100% right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would suck, especially if you still have feelings for her and she's sending you good morning texts.
I would send her some Ew David GIFs.
She, she's...
If you don't know that one.
She's taking your energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't really get anything in return.
Yeah, you don't owe her a good morning, bro.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Especially you said you wouldn't do that with your female friends. Yeah.
That's correct.
She's just kind of stringing you along.
By the way, that is you have a correct emotional assessment of things.
Yes.
Texting your female friends good morning is fucking weird.
Yeah, that would be weird.
That would be odd.
Because, yeah, even when all my friends were guys, like, it was like, hey, it was information based. Like, hey, we hang in later. Like, oh, so-and-so is going to go over to this person's house and we're going to do this. Like, it's information based.
Correct.
Not like, hey, sweetie, how's it going?
That's super weird.
That's weird in the morning.
The only thing I can think of is sometimes when we have friends leave, I'm like, yo, just let me know when you got home.
Oh, that's different.
But that's different.
Yeah.
And it's let us know. It's not like me privately or anything.
Yeah. I think you were correct in your assessment of everything. So good on you.
Good luck. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Another relationship question. That's the title of this, but also it is another relationship question.
Yeah.
Please keep anonymous. Okay, you got it, Hickory Dickory. Hey, Nikki and Iceman, big fan of all your shows, podcasts, and vlogs. I've been feeling odd lately and wanted to hear both of your perspectives. All right.
Okay.
Back in 2019, I broke up with my girlfriend of 3 years. It was my first real relationship, and I knew it would end from the beginning, but I was naive and allowed myself to stay with a person who wasn't right for me. It was a situation where she was from a culture where her parents were constantly pressuring her to get married, and she was pushing that off onto me, even though she wasn't ready to get married and wasn't past her experimentation phase, her hoe phase. I had just finished my master's degree during this time, and when I didn't marry her on her parents' timeline, they all started criticizing me for not magically being wealthy and having a job with a $250,000 salary straight out of school. We ultimately broke things off at this time. Since then, I've dated many different women from truly amazing backgrounds, from top universities with extremely successful careers at top companies and academics who are leaders in their field. Very few of these women I have felt any kind of connection with, and the few that I have had major flaws. For example, I dated one woman who I knew I could fall in love with from how well I could relate to her, but she ultimately tried to mislead me into thinking she wanted a real relationship when she only wanted something temporary. Another who I hit it off with had an extreme mutual attraction to was disinterested in talking to me about serious subjects that are important to me, like politics and social causes. Most other women were forgettable for one reason or another. Most often I have dated those who, despite their academic and professional degree, don't have any real tangible goals or passions. Mm-hmm. They also have a very limited range of interests. I had one date with a graduate from Harvard Business School, for example, who only cared to talk about food and whose life and career goals amounted to having fun and being open to new opportunities rather than directing her own career.
Was it a job interview? Jesus.
I've been taking a break from dating for the last few months, and I'm starting to feel very odd. After the experiences I've had with people who should be at the height of what society has to offer, I feel like dating in general isn't worth my time anymore. Just swiping through dating apps grosses me out, and thinking about dating anyone in general as well. I feel like people in general aren't worth my time because they're either too shallow, not ambitious enough, not empathetic enough, or not reliable enough. The issue is compounded as well because I do very much still want to build a family with someone and have a lasting relationship with someone. While I have trust issues and find it difficult to believe I can rely on anybody for my experiences, dating, and background growing up, the idea of having a lasting family with someone seems completely outside the realm of reality for all of these reasons. Any insights or thoughts you have are much appreciated.
Okay, I think thanks, I got this one. I think I got
go
this
for
one.
It. I think we're on the same page.
I think that you are being too quick to dismiss people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all this is.
Yes.
And that's not a knock on you. We all fall into a pattern at some point where we're just like, I got this person figured out. Okay, mm-hmm. Moving on, swiping, right? And you're not realizing that you're doing that in real life. Like you're saying, like, I can't believe how vapid all these social media apps are. But then you're sitting down with somebody and they start to talk about their interests. And you're like, I already got you pegged. You're boring.
It's like they have to say mm-hmm. the magic things in order for you to validate them.
Yes.
And
in the way that you want them said.
Yeah, you have an idea of what that you think they should be before they even get a chance to show you who they are.
Exactly.
And
there's a lot of people that, you know, we all can be wrong about.
Yeah.
And that we actually get to have a conversation with, a real one maybe, or like over a little bit of time we get to know them more. I'm like, oh, I didn't know. Oh, okay. Wow,
yeah.
I didn't know that about you.
And I'm not saying settle or compromise.
Nobody
like
is.
if you're not engaged or you're not like stimulated by the conversation, but I kind of get the feeling that you're judging it right off the bat. Like,
let yourself get to know people.
Yes.
A little better than maybe.
Because they're
you
scared
are.
Too. It's not like they okay, it's not like if I sit down with someone brand new, I have so many hobbies and interests and stuff, but I'm not gonna right off the bat like unload all of that onto them. I'm going with the flow. They're gonna ask me things like, where do you work? And I'll be like, I edit videos, you know, like
yeah.
or whatever. Maybe that sounds boring to you. Like, what if they dismiss me right off the bat because I said too boring of a job?
But,
you know, that's
by the
lot
way,
of pressure to put on somebody.
I've talked to some people who it's like, oh, so what do you do? It's like, social causes. Like, that's my thing. And then it's just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay, calm down. It's okay.
And the social political stuff, okay, I get. If you're really passionate about that and
it's
you want to engage in someone else who's equally passionate about that, cool. Like, I would set, like, three things that are, like, your top three things you're not willing to settle on. But most people, I find, especially in such a heated climate, sometimes don't want to jump straight into political or social issues because it's very intense and it's very heated. It gets very emotional.
Exactly.
Like, people that are just meeting you, like, kind of want to take it easy, you know?
Yeah. It's not speed dating.
Yeah.
You can get to know people a little better.
A little slower.
Yeah, a little slower.
Yeah.
And just listen. Just try to listen a little more. Like, one of the things I learned in improv is to listen to people because listening is half of improv, which I completely didn't understand at first. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, no, it's about being funny. Go out there and be funny. But you can't be funny if you're not listening to the people that you're with. And you can't, so you can't really know somebody unless you're listening to them. And you have to listen to them, not where your mind's drifting about them.
I have a particular philosophy that everyone can teach you something. So I started to, when I started feeling bothered or annoyed by somebody, or like, you know, feeling like I was going to dismiss them, like these kind of feelings, I instead turned and listened to them, like you were saying, and also just like listen for what can I learn from them? Like, what is this type of person? Like, what, how does their brain work? I'm genuinely curious because everyone operates so differently, and it's really nice to get to know how someone can think a completely different way than me. And when you start looking at people with an open mind like that, people aren't just like put in this category of not worth your time unless you have this, 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 and this. So yeah, I don't know. It might not lead to a romantic relationship, but it'll allow you to become more open to getting to know people if that's something you want.
And that expectation too that you put in there. And by the way, none of this is a knock on you. We're just trying to analyze it like you asked at the end of it. But the way that in there you're like, these are supposed to be like the brightest and best people from around the world, but they're not living up to that expectation. See how you just set that expectation. These are supposed to be the fucking best, and like they're not delivering for me. And it's like you gotta like zoom out of yourself a little bit and go, holy shit, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah,
it's just you're putting pressure on every situation like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Expecting A's and triple A's.
Yeah. You're in a very, like, very, I don't know what the, like, the, what's called, but the, your very logical mindset of, like, it's a trade interaction. Like, it's a transaction.
Transactional.
Yeah, it's transactional. That's the word I was looking for. Where, okay, you said you went to this school and have this job, so therefore you must provide this. And in exchange, I went to this school and this job, and I will provide this.
Yes.
And that's just not how relationships work.
Or how people are.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, that's all.
So
we're not telling you to lower your expectations. We're telling you to just listen to people and give them more of a benefit of the doubt and not be like snobby about like who they are without necessarily knowing them yet. That's
exactly.
All.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what was I going to say? I hope that helps.
Yeah. We're rooting for you.
Yeah.
We want you to win. And good luck with that.
Oh, that's what it was. I definitely think you should take a break. Like, just...
Oh, that too.
Take a breather. Like, maybe take 6 months off. Focus on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, figure out what you really want in a part, in like a relationship, you know? Does that stuff really, really matter to you? Like, what are your top three? Just pick three. 'Cause then, you know, yeah. I think that if you jump right in, you will just kind of... I think you're burnt out.
Yeah, I think you have a great sense of self, though, which is good. But, you know, just now let other people determine themselves to you.
Yeah.
A little more.
All right. That's what we think. What did I call him in the beginning?
It was a mouse's name.
It was a rhyme. I don't remember.
I don't recall.
Little Mouse. That's a rapper name. You know, a little mousy.
There you go.
Okay. Next question. This one's called Here for the Vibe. Hi, Iceman and Icebreaker. What's up?
Hello.
Breaker 123. I'm a high sitcom hubby to the sitcom wife. I'm just here for the vibe of the party channel. I'm all about partying with vitamins, watering plants, kitty love, date nights with the hubby, all the party. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
These are our people. First of all, love you guys. Love your relationship. In a parallel universe, I think me and my hubby are kind of a version of you guys. A kind of brown girl with a white guy who are literally best friends that got married. Yeah, it does sound
Fuck
like
yeah.
you are. So in my mind, we are really great friends. Weird? Hope not. Love all the advice you guys give. Trying to give us tips on all the things we missed out on our lives. You guys are the best. Keep doing what you're doing. And I hope all these great vibes you guys put out in the world come back to you guys in the ways that are beneficial to you. Thank you.
That means a lot, honestly. Wow, I appreciate that.
Go here for the question. My husband and I are finally getting ready to buy our first house. He's 38 and I'm 39. We have about $20,000 ready for a down payment. Now, the problem is we live in SoCal and even worse, near Valencia. Very expensive. Ooh, near Six Flags.
Good for you.
Any tips for house hunting during a seller's market? These houses are being snatched up in minutes and for tens of thousands over asking price. Any advice would be appreciated. Again, I love you guys. Here for the vibe. Thank you.
Wow.
You are awesome. And yeah, so okay. 20K. Okay.
Wait, what's 20K? They have 20K.
Get pre-approved first.
Yes.
If you haven't already, because then you'll know exactly
what you're dealing
the
with.
The range of houses you can look at. Maybe you, if you're willing to kind of go on the outskirts, like somewhere that's kind of developing, that's not.
Stay close to Six Flags because you want that property value to pop, be popping up.
Six Flags.
Yeah, you want that property value going.
But yeah, I mean, like you know, where we bought our house, it was like originally we were looking in the neighborhood we used to live in, and it just got way too expensive. So we just kind of went on like a little bit further on the outside. So now we're like on the rim of where we used to live, and it's actually. I think it's a better investment because it's a much more growing area.
It's filled in since we got here.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you don't mind that, start there. And also just think of it like it's your starter house. So you don't have to marry it. You know, it's just like just to get some real estate under your belt.
You're just committing to something for at least 30 years.
But not really. Nobody keeps it for 30 years. And then, yeah, see if you can even qualify for... An FHA loan?
FHA.
Yeah, where you can put down 2, 3, 5, 4, 5% instead of 20%, and that might expand it a little bit more. You may need more income to qualify, so you may need to like co-sign with somebody or get your income up or something like that. But worth it, also. Or just wait for a dip. I know it sucks. I would. It's better if you can get a place. And remember, not every seller is looking for the highest bidder. Some people want to like the fastest person that's going to like everything's going to go really fast. Some people, like if you send a tape in, they just want personal. Like maybe this was their baby, their house. They loved this house and they want it to go somebody to somebody that they really like.
Yep.
You know, you never know why people are selling their house. So it doesn't hurt to... If you find the place that's in your price range that you can are pre-approved for, that you make an offer, even if it's not the highest offer that they got. Anything else? I think that's my best advice to you. And in the meantime, just keep saving as much as you can. Keep putting as much as you can towards that down payment, and then you know options will start to expand.
You can't live inside of a Bitcoin. If I said it once, I said it 1,000 times.
One day, maybe.
Not right now.
Not right now.
There's some projects that are working on it, but no movement yet.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do you have any other advice?
No. I think FHA loan is the move. Mm-hmm. Try for that. I think getting your down payment as high as possible obviously helps you with monthly payments later.
Yes.
If I was Dave Ramsey, I'd say buy it in cash.
No.
Pay cash.
Sorry, Dave.
What you want to do is pay cash.
Sorry, Dave. The mortgage rates are very low right now.
You pay cash.
So.
Cut up your credit cards.
None of that.
Okay.
I mean, you can cut up your credit cards. Actually, that'll help too. If you pay off all your credit card debt, you can qualify for more money. But good luck. Yeah. Like, it's tough out there. We're trying to move to Vegas and it's tough out there too.
Dude, there's lines. We're looking at houses in Vegas. There's fucking lines to look at houses.
There's some places that had like 10 offers on it. It had been the market like 4 days and half of the offers, they didn't even see the property
yet. Sight unseen. Go figure that out.
It's just wild.
Wild out there.
Yeah. So you're not alone in this at all. Don't feel...
The sellers own the market.
Yeah. I mean...
Until a crash.
Maybe. We would be selling our house too, but then the problem is... Are we able to buy another house?
Exactly.
You know? So, good luck. It's tough. Okay, next question. I think this is the last one.
Okay.
This one is, my marriage is falling apart.
Aww. We're leaving on a down note?
Yeah, we're leaving on a sad note.
Okay.
Okay. It's a little long, but it's okay. Hello, Nikki and Iceman. First, thank you for taking your time to read this, and I really don't have any... Wait, sorry. Could have put it back, Mark. Hello, Nikki and Iceman. First, thank you for taking your time to read this, as I just really don't have anyone else to talk to. I understand I can't give you the full play-by-play on my 5-year relationship with my husband, but I can tell you I love this man with my whole heart and soul, and it's breaking my heart that things are rapidly changing. I will try to condense this as much as possible, but we've been married almost 3 years, together for 5, and now we have a little 9-month-old baby. Aww. Oh. Obviously, with baby comes more stress, and now even more stress that I lost my job due to COVID. We both agreed that I can be a stay-at-home mom for a while, which I feel like is such a blessing to me. I quickly realized that being a stay-at-home mom is literally a full-time job that you don't clock out of. I also have a 7-year-old stepson that does online learning, and the program is so bad I end up being his teacher for 4 hours of the day.
Wow.
I also am a full-time nursing student and have been for about 2 years now. Jeez. Here, where it gets messy is since my husband's best friend died in November, he has turned into a different person. Oh my God, this happened to my dad. He frequently says mean things out of anger and gets angry over little non-existent stuff. And when I try to tell him that there is a way that you say things and he doesn't have to be mean, he says, you need to grow up and realize if you don't like who I am, then that's on you. And I'm just sitting there like, what the fuck? This morning when he was leaving for work, he complained that his clean socks in the drawer were actually dirty, to which I apologized and was slightly confused because I wouldn't have put them in there dirty. I do all the laundry. He's a mechanic and his socks are funky on a whole different level. And when he comes home, his response was, clearly you don't unbundle them when you wash them, you don't pay attention to anything. And I was like, you take them off and throw them on the floor when you get home. Why would I rebundle your dirty socks and put them in your clean drawer? To which he said, if you want to tell white lies and defend yourself like you always do, go ahead, but I'm not letting you mess up my journey. It's like this death made
him... My journey? Yeah. He said journey? He said that?
It's like this death made him realize how short life is and how unhappy he is here with where he is currently. It's little comments like this all the time that has built up resentment in our relationship, and every time I try to talk to him about it, he belittles my feelings. I no longer tell him when I have had a bad day at home because it turns into a whole, you've been home all day, how are you tired? Well, what did you do today? I work so hard to make sure the house is taken care of before he gets home, and it's never appreciated. I told him a few months after having our baby I felt like I had postpartum depression, and he said, you're online too much, it's all in your head. Or frequent comments about how he is on a mission because life is short and he isn't going to let me slow him down, which really fucking hurts because I've been 10,000% supportive of all his dreams and aspirations. But when I'm struggling to write a 6-page paper on the human nervous system at 8 p.m. because I've been a mom and housewife all day and the baby's crying, he's asleep on the couch. The last time I asked him for help, it turned into a full-blown argument because he really thought it was appropriate to say, you really can't handle this, or you really can't handle this. It's just all these little comments that have piled up in my head and I can't stop thinking about them. I'm not trying to take away all of our good memories with these bad ones, but I feel like lately they're outweighing each other. Things were not like this before his friend died. He was the most supportive, helpful, wonderful partner, and now he's a totally different person. I've spoken to a stepmom briefly about this, to which she said, all of the men in the family act this way. They're dysfunctional. I suggest you focus on taking care of yourself until he decides to follow. With this information in mind, do you guys have any advice on how to solve this problem or work on it to make it better? I know this isn't the man I married. This Fuck. Exact situation happened to my mom and dad.
And how did he get through it?
So his best friend died. He became a different person. Yeah. Like, he was so freaking mean to not just my mom, but also the kids, me and my brother. And he...
By the way, Ben, I hope you're listening. And big fan.
They're through it now. But like, yeah, they went through it. It was really bad. I actually didn't know that it was that bad because they kind of hid a lot from us. Yeah. Like, which I know that he was mean. Like, I felt like he was mean to me. And I was really scared whenever our dad was just watching us. Mm-hmm. But like, I didn't know that they had a problem until like way later. And I didn't know it was because of his best friend's death. I thought he just was mean, you know, right. Like I was a little kid. But yeah, so they went to couples therapy, and they had a make or break it moment where like, it was like, hey, like my mom was like, this is what I need. And my dad was like, I don't know if I can be that. And then he had a talk with his sister, and then I don't know all the details, but he had a revelation where he was like, I do love my family. Like, I do want to be a good dad and a good husband. But it was like a few years.
It sounds like he's punishing you, and he's basically treating you like a punching bag because he's...
Well, he doesn't know how to deal with his emotions.
He's stuck with his emotional pit. That's the thing.
Especially, I don't know if this is true about your husband, but especially if he was a person that never cried, never processed any emotions, like kind of kept everything all inside. And now he doesn't know how to deal with them because he's having a huge amount of emotions and has no idea where to put them. He's stressed out from work. And so he comes home and takes it out on you.
That's what my dad used to do to my mom too.
Yeah.
I watched that a lot. And that's heartbreaking to watch. Heartbreaking. But it's one of those things too where there's something else going on. Yeah. I didn't find out until much later that it was like crazy, stressful shit at work that none of us knew about that they kept from us.
Yeah.
But it doesn't excuse any of that, in my opinion. It's just, it helps you understand it maybe, but it doesn't excuse it.
Yeah.
And it's about, I think he needs to go to therapy.
Yes.
Whatever you can. I know you're struggling and you're like, holy shit, how am I going to do this? But this is your marriage and you guys have a baby, and whatever you can do to whatever you can do to get there, I think is worth it. There's a lot of places that are accessible, like that you I've heard about, but you know, obviously do your due diligence with that. But I think it's worth every cent that you spend.
Yeah,
on
absolutely.
That.
Especially when you know the person you married. And that this is not it.
And like, you have a reason. You know he's going through something.
Yeah.
Because you have a catalyst.
And you chose him for a reason. Because of all the things you said, he's supportive. He's a loving person. This event is what it is. It's not you. But I know this is super personal. And those are really hurtful things. And especially coming from somebody that you love so much. And then they're not respecting you or helping you at all. I don't know what I would do in your situation, because I could not handle that. Mm-hmm. But I would absolutely try to do every possible route I could to save it. So, yeah, therapy, and maybe you even need to like go stay with your mom or a friend or something for a little bit, like put some space in between. But that's really hard, especially you don't have a job, so you were kind of you're kind of dependent on him, and he's kind of using that, holding that over you.
He's beating you with it.
Yeah.
And that's what's crazy, because you guys had a deal. And also my mom was a stay-at-home mom. I saw up close and personal how fucking much that is a job.
Oh yeah.
And
you don't get a break from it.
You don't. It's 24 hours.
Yeah.
You don't even get to sleep.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. You don't even get to sleep because you're supposed to wake up and take care of it because the other person has to go to work. So then you're just 24 hours plugged into it. And my mom never even got to leave that because she takes care of my grandma now. It's fucking insane.
Yeah.
So, man, we're rooting for you out there. I tell you what, try the therapy route with your husband.
Yeah.
Come at it with love. I know that's hard because he's not coming at you with it. Mm-hmm. But maybe he needs some love a little bit more because he's obviously not himself. So at least when I say come at it with love, I'm talking about approach the idea of therapy with love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I love you. I miss you. Like kind of thing. Like, I don't know what's going on with you. Obviously, you had your friend died, and like, let's figure out what's really going on right now, because you're not being the same person around us. It's not just me. You're around our kid too.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to eventually affect the kid too.
I promise you, they see everything. They absorb everything. I remember every fucking time my dad came home yelling at my mom, not being able to sleep because my dad's yelling at my mom for fucking hours.
But that's super hard and super personal. And like, I definitely have not been in your situation personally. So it's really hard. But therapy. And then at some point you do have to draw a line in the sand, because you cannot have a partner that doesn't respect you.
No fucking chance. So you're not a punching bag either. That's the other thing. There's a rule that has to happen in your house, which is I am not your punching bag, right? And he has to come home and check his shit at the fucking door, because this is your home too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is not his pit stop between work and whatever, and you're not a branch in the way on his journey that he trips on.
Yeah, yikes.
Like, come on, dude. Like, so yeah, that's the first thing. I'm not your punching bag, number one. And number two, you need some therapy. And I love you. I'm coming at it with love, like when I say that, because I miss you. I want you to go to therapy because I want you to be healed.
Yeah.
And just try that. And I hope that helps.
I hope that works too.
I really do.
I'm sorry.
Please follow up with us. I would love to know that you're okay.
I feel so bad.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for your questions. Podcast at nikki.limo if you want to submit anything to us. We are not experts though, so no. Don't be coming around here.
But we do tell people to break up quite a bit. We didn't do that this episode.
We did for one.
We did do that.
Yeah, for one. We did do that for episode. Yeah. Okay, we snuck
good.
It in there.
Good.
Yeah.
I was nervous.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It was really off-brand for us.
Yeah, I was going to say that. We can't sell shirts if we do that shit.
That's true. I know. Merch is coming.
It's coming. You think that we have been giving honest advice? No, it's been a merch play.
It's been a merch play, okay?
It was always a merch play.
And you will buy it, okay?
Yeah, we totally do.
As long as we tell people to break up in every episode.
Because we're influencers. influencing you.
Thanks. All right. Subscribe. Rate us on iTunes. All that good stuff.
All that
share
so
with
much.
Your friends. It really helps. Patreon.com/sticky if you want to check us out. We have live streams every month.
Download
Steve
the
has
show.
A crypto corner.
That helps a lot.
Oh, yeah. Download on audio. Yeah. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.